I want us to think generationally. I want us to think generationally. Each generation of Christians is a bridge. It's a bridge that builds on the past, builds on the eternal purposes of God. And we don't always think this way because we're so fed in our society today, us and what we have to offer. But you are a link in a chain. You're not the beginning point and you're not the arrival point. You are a link in the chain. And you've been called, you've been charged to advance the kingdom of God in the time and place where you've been positioned for his glory and for his purposes. And if we lose that and we forget that, we can spin around and around and around and accomplish very little. So as we honor Grandma Braun this morning, as we think about the impact that she may have had on our lives, on the lives of us around us, I just want to pray that this will be an encouragement to spur us on and how we take care of our little acreage and how that's going to impact the people around us. So what we're going to do is we have a 5-minute slideshow from the funeral with just some pictures and music of Grandma Braun. And during that time, I just invite you to consider anything that you would like to share, that you remember about her, how she impacted you and your walk with the Lord, or your heart, or things you saw in her, how she partnered with the Lord to fulfill his call. Okay, let's do that. And then just prepare us. At the end of the service today, we'll see how time allows, but there's a few things about Grandma Braun that I think were very clear to all of us. We could not have an encounter with her without being hugged, greeted. I tried to shake her hand often in the beginning, but it was kind of like that grip, you know, and it just kind of pulled you in, and you were hugging before you knew it. And always walked away knowing that you were someone special. Special. Someone special. Yeah. The other thing that stuck out to Miss Grandma Braun was her faithfulness in prayer and being a prayer warrior for her family, for this family, for her community, for a church. And we want to be another link in the chain and being faithful in prayer.
I think it's really cool that we get a chance to do this. Really cool. Grandma Braun, I guess, in being able to honor her, I think in this, you can't honor her without lifting up Jesus, because in my opinion, she was a real reflection of what Jesus is. And that is, three things come to mind: not judgmental, unconditional love, and pray like crazy. And my interaction with Grandma Braun goes back 30 years to 1987, when we had the privilege and the honor of starting up a drop-in center here in Niverville, which is still continuing right now. It wasn't quite the same as it is right now. It was in a place that God opened up some doors. It was the pool hall in town. It was named some other things that weren't as nice. And God opened up doors to start up a drop-in center to reach out to kids that had kind of fallen between the cracks. And so for those of you that are maybe younger than I am, I just want to paint just a really small picture, quick picture of what that place looked like. You walk in, it's burned down now already, but it was a pretty dungy place, old place, lots of mice running around, two pool tables, shuffleboard, ping pong table, arcade games, Pac-Man, some of you might remember that. And those were the days before no smoking was allowed in public places, so there was a blue haze constantly, and there was a lot of action happening in that place. Well, we were open 7 days a week, and we had probably between 40 and 50 volunteers. And I still remember the day when Mrs. Braun came up and said, I would like to help out. That was very early on. And so 30 years ago, she would have been, what, 65, correct? So imagine a 65-year-old woman walking into a place with a bunch of kids that aren't your normal church kids, okay? Smoke billowing everywhere, and she volunteered on a regular basis once a week. And all I remember is, I mean, what I remember is she would come in and she would go up to each individual person in that drop-in center and hug them, tell them they were special, ask them about what was going on in their life. Then she became even more involved. She got involved with the Young Moms group on a regular basis. We had a discipleship supper club. A bunch of ladies on a regular basis, rotational basis, brought meals. She was one of those. And probably one of the most important parts was she started up the prayer, regular prayer meetings at the drop-in center. And I had the honor of being a part of that many times. And I can vividly remember she would pray. That was her big thing. And I always remember her prayers always started with many ways that she was so thankful for whatever we had. And that's how it all started. And then she would pray specifically for different kids within the drop-in center. And so I have just amazing memories. The legacy that she has left, I think it needs to be a challenge to each one of us just to, you know what? None of us have it all together. We have not arrived. And so we have no right to look at anybody other than through the eyes of Jesus. And that's what she did. And that's what I hope that each one of us can be encouraged to do.
I asked Michelle to come up here with me because I get kind of nervous in front of speaking in front of people. I was fortunate enough to work where Grandma Braun lived. And so I got to see her almost every day. And it was the same thing. Hug, you're so special, and I love you. And, yeah, I mean, she's just amazing. And I really appreciated the Braun ladies in general because they would have their regular prayer meetings for the management of the Heritage Center. And they would pray for us for wisdom and love it. And thank you to the family for sharing her history, because I didn't know a lot of the stuff that happened after her husband passed away. But I really appreciated you sharing that, because it gives hope for us all. Because she, and the one line from the funeral that just keeps going over and over in my mind is how her grandson said he literally saw her go from a rock to a pillow. So it's hope for us all, we can all change, right? Thanks, Michelle.
You're welcome. Well, now that I'm here, Grandma Braun was everyone's going to say she touched their lives, and I just was so thankful of how she invested in children. Even at the daycare where I work, when she was in the home, she would come up to every single child as we were coming off the elevator and touch their face and look in their eyes, and they'd look up at her and they'd go, and she'd go, "Hi, do you know you're special?" And they'd all go, "Uh-huh." My 5-year-olds, right? And when in the manor, and I work, the daycare is located in the manor, we call them our grand friends. So she was always known as a grand friend, and the kids would always get off the elevators. "Is our grand friend Grandma there? Is she there?" Because they were looking for her, and that was really neat. I also loved how she, in my own children, my oldest son especially, Silas, she made a point of seeking him out every Sunday when he was coming, and she would come up to him, and she'd give him a hug, and she always asked how he was doing and what was new. She was always wanting to know. It wasn't just, "Hi, how are you?" but, "What are you doing? Where are you going? What's going on in your life?" And And Silas would take it like a man. He'd stand there and let her hug him. But he does remember that and how she just poured life into everybody she met. I have a song that it's written by Carolyn Ahrens, but it's sung by Steve Bell. It's called Getting Ready for Glory. We couldn't get all the words typed up, so I'll just read them for you. We do have the song. It says, she's had 80-some years, most of them good, but she's not going to be here much longer. Now the body is weak, as she knew that it would, but the spirit just keeps getting stronger. She's got her Bible and hymn book beside her. She's storing those psalms and old songs up inside her. And then it goes into the chorus, she's getting ready, she's getting ready, she's getting ready for glory. She knows all the verses to How Great Thou Art, and the soul doth magnify often, and she's going to keep learning the scriptures by heart till the day that she's laid in her coffin. She wants to be sure when the angels come take her that she's got some greetings for meeting her maker. And she will tell us, if only you'll listen, it's not about dying, it's all about living. And whether you're young or the end's drawing near, there's just one reason why God has us here, and we're getting ready for glory. So I thought that just really emulated her life and emulated who she was. And so they'll play the song. I'm sorry that the words aren't going to come up, but there you go.
But she's not gonna be here much longer. Now the body gets weak, like she knew that it would, but the spirit just keeps getting stronger. She's got her Bible and hymn book beside her. She's storing those songs and old psalms up inside her. She's getting ready, she's getting ready, she's getting ready.
Grandma Braun, what a woman. I came here when I was 18, started coming here, and I wasn't here very long when she came to me and she asked if I would host it for her. She was going to see one of her daughters in another province, and she needed someone to stay at her home. And I was a little shocked because we didn't really know each other, and I'd kind of come from a past in a church where I didn't really have a lot of worth. So for her to come to me and ask me that, I was like, why would you ask me? Like, this church is full of people you could ask. Why would you come to me? And anyways, I did it, and of course didn't really get to know her at that point, but when she came back, I started going over there quite regularly, and she was an amazing woman. I found out at the funeral that was during that time, she was really struggling. I would have never known, because she spoke into my life in such a powerful way during that time that I would never have guessed she was struggling like she was. And so that at that point meant even more to me when I found that out, because she was willing to give even though she was finding it so hard to live, and yet she gave life to me, and it was amazing. And so anyways, I had lots of conversations with her at that kitchen table, and they were all amazing and wonderful, and she became a very good friend of mine. And then we moved away because of my husband's work and came back 10 years ago, and my grandmother had passed away, and she was my last living grandmother, and I was very close to her, but was living up north and had to be able to spend a lot of time with her and was really missing her. And I went to Grandma Braun, and I said, would you be my grandma? And she looked me in the eye, and she said, yes. Wow, I didn't think I was going to do this. She took that to heart, and I was her grandchild, and I would see you guys and think, I got what you got, because she treated me the same. It didn't matter that I wasn't part of her family. When I asked her that and she said yes, that was a heart thing to her. It wasn't just something she said. It was something she did, and it really meant the world to me. And so, yeah, she spent many times coming here on her scooter, and she'd walk in the door, and she said, I just came to see you and give you a hug. And she would always have a word for me. Like, if I was struggling that day, it was amazing. That woman would say something to me, and she'd leave, and I go, how did she know? How did she know I was struggling with exactly that? But she did it all the time. She was just an amazing, amazing lady. So thank you for sharing her with me, and thank you, Lord, for bringing her into my life.
I just wanted to be real quick because Grandma Braun, I spent probably minutes with her. And most of you spent hours, days, years, decades. But in those few minutes, immediately it felt to me like as if I'd known her for decades. And she'd known me and loved me and my family for decades. And that was her spirit. And I think when we embody Jesus, that's, like people have said over and over again, that was her. So thank you, Grandma Braun.
Come on up to the front row if you want to be after Henry.
Claire warned me. I couldn't say everything I wanted to say. He figured it'd be all about me, so... he said, and Dan warned me, if the Spirit of God tells you three times to say that, then you can say it. So, well, anyway, my connection with Mrs. Brown, the Brown family, goes back to when I was 15 years old. Mr. Brown employed, I was employed by Mr. Brown at 15, and so, of course, I worked with the family, and Claire and I worked together lots. And you know what, sometimes we hear about, There's nothing wrong with people. Like they're just super, they're just heavenly, and there's nothing wrong with them. Well, I know Mrs. Brown since I was 15, right? I have no ill. But what happens in life, and I often be condemned. You say, well, Roger is a wonderful man. You look at Roger, look at whatever. But the thing is, sometimes you turn to yourself and say, well, I'm not like that. You know, then what happens is, these people have many years on us. She's 30 years ahead of me. It says the life of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter till the full day. So our hope is in that our life will also shine. We're still maybe stepping in the puddle once in a while. But the thing is, she stepped in the puddle less as she gets 90. And then, of course, I have no ill. Some people, you think back, you have no ill. I have no ill of her. Like she has, I can't remember any ill of her. And because she'd be quiet. If something she didn't agree with, and, you know, she could say something negative, she'd just smile. You know, she wouldn't say anything. It's true, isn't it? And so what happened is I would pick her up at church Sunday mornings, and you know, and it says that we'll give account for every idle word, or every, and I looked that up, it says every unemployed word we'll give account for. And what happened is, she wouldn't say idle word. Idle words are those that don't move the kingdom forward. And so as we were complaining or gossiping, those are idle words that we give account for. But she would speak the words that would advance the kingdom in your life and in the kingdom of God. That's what she. That's how I knew her when I picked her up. Every encounter with her was her words were not idle. They brought life and they moved the kingdom forward. And that's how I remember her. When I think of her, she moved the kingdom forward. And that's our goal, right? So don't be condemned if you think you're not perfect. Just give time. Your life, the righteous is like this. Shines brighter and brighter. So, and she overcame. And that's because of brighter, because she overcame. At 52, her husband passed away suddenly, and she overcame. She didn't turn bitter, she turned better, and because she made good, she turned right instead of turning left, you know, so that's how you overcome.
I don't really have anything profound to say, except I go back even further than Henry, because we knew them as we were children and we played together. What I really appreciated is the fact that there was transparency about her life as well. You know, people praised her, but they said the lady, she grew a lot. And I think that when she got her baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's when things really shot forward for her. But you know what? One thing I do want to mention, and these guys can clarify it better than I could, but I remember my mom telling us stories. Her childhood wasn't easy. She had, I think if I'm right, there was lots of crap. And you know what? She could have lived her life with the under the umbrella that it wasn't fair. Isn't that right? And she didn't. So, and I never heard her talk about how it hadn't been fair. She always was projecting forward about how she wanted to grow and she wanted to change. So I thought that was really positive about her. So that's an encouragement to us as we get older, not to draw on. I do in particular, I work with that a lot, that life hasn't been fair maybe sometimes. But she was an example of a person that lived her life forward, and I thought that was really neat.
As has been mentioned already, she was a real prayer warrior, and I think you can see that in her family. It was a large family, well, in my opinion, a large family. I guess there's bigger ones, but so many of them are involved in ministry actively, whether in a church setting or in business or whatever. And so that to me has been a real example, the prayer warrior that she was. And I've started doing that myself. Well, pray for your own family, of course, but then you add others that God lays on your heart to pray for them daily. So that was a challenge to me.
I wonder if we could have all the descendants of Grandma Brown just stand to their feet. This time we want to honor you. You have a great legacy, and our lives will never be the same because she left us better off. Like my own parents, they were not perfect, but they left me better off. And they gave me a better start in life, and I'm eternally grateful. Mother Brown was like Deborah, a mother in Israel. She was a mother not just to you, but to Niverville. And she's impacted us hugely. Thank you so much. We bless you guys. There are just three things I want to say this morning about Mother Brown. First of all, she was a woman of the word. Less than 24 hours before her last stroke, from which she never recovered, it just so happened I was commissioned to bring the Christmas hamper from the church to her apartment. I think it was a Friday morning. So it happened to be the same day that David and Savia and their family came, and we were singing carols there at the personal care home, and then we went to Grandma Brown's apartment, and there she was when we knocked on the door. What was she doing? She had her Bible open in front of her, and she was meditating on the scriptures. She was getting her feet planted deep in the good word, and she was speaking the word of God. I saw this many, many times when we had a Bible study that she actually initiated at the Niverville place for several years. I would go every other week, and we had a Bible study. And whenever the conversation would get focused on the problems, on the things that were wrong in the world, she was the one from her generation that would bring in the word of God that we must stand on the word of God. And so she was a woman of the word. But not only that, like the word and the spirit worked together, she was a woman of prayer. And she reminded me of my own mother, who impacted my life hugely, because there were times in her life when we were at our wits' end, like the scripture that Daniel just read this morning from Psalm 107, where my mother had a very difficult, a very challenging marriage, and there were times where I'd be called up in an emergency, where my dad would be in the hospital, there was no one to run the business, and it looked like things were just going to fall apart. And I'd go home to try to help in those emergencies, in those crises of life. But what my mother would do, instead of complain or blame others, she got down on her knees and prayed to the God of heaven. She said, God, this is a time of need. We need you, God. We need your help from heaven. And God would intervene every time. And he would rescue us. And that's what I saw in Mother Brown when things were not going well, instead of complaining. But this happened, as was mentioned, as a process of change over her life. And I believe, as Barb said, it happened right at a time, just shortly after her husband passed away, and in a time of great desperation. And it was right at that time, 41 years ago now, in January of 1976, when Marge and I and Peter and Agnes met in their home for a prayer meeting, asking God for something greater in Niverville. As much as we thank God for what he had already done, we needed something more. And at those Bible studies at Peter and Agnes' house, she was one of the first to come and identify herself. I didn't think it would cause so much controversy, but from her generation, to be willing to identify with us was a huge thing, because all her peers really thought we were getting into heresy, but she stood with us. And so not only was she a woman of the word, not only was she a woman of prayer, but she was a woman that was open to change. It's very unusual. You'll see somebody who, at the age of 65, begins a process of transformation where they're willing to change. I remember those, when the Charismatic Renewal came to Niverville, she was one, and probably the only one of her age, who was saying, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to change. And what I'm seeing in people that are in crisis right now, the only ones that are not going to get help are those who are going to say, I'm not willing to change. And you get intransigent. And you say, I'm right and everyone else is wrong. That's the work of the enemy. But if you're saying, I'm willing to be changed, there's hope for every one of us. And that's a lesson we can take from her life, that she did not get intransigent and say, oh, the young people today are not like they used to be, you know? As John Folk pointed out, you know, the way she was raised in a very, very conservative background, for her to be willing to identify with the young people and bless them was huge. And that is a memory and a legacy I will always carry with me, because I want to be like that to my children and to my grandchildren, and not limit God to what I can understand, but to say it's more important to bless and to love than it is to be right. And so, I just want to close with this. Our time is gone, but we won't have a prayer time. But I'm so thankful that less than 2 months before she died, we were able to honor her right here in this church before everyone. And that was our Legacy Sunday. And as you remember, Glenn Forsberg, who had a huge part in the founding of Maranatha, was with us that Sunday. And he sent me this email shortly after her passing. He said, good morning, Roger. He said, it was indeed a joy to be with you for the Legacy Sunday, where you honor the pioneers of the church, among them Mrs. Brown. She was a most wonderful lady, highly respected by all as a mother of the church. We are so thankful to have been with you for that very special Sunday. The history of the church and certainly this fellowship is marked by the faith and the empowerment of many women who have forwarded the cause of Christ. Sister Brown's legacy lives on through her sons, her family, and the community. We can thank God for her promised celebration in the presence of her Lord today. I believe with all my heart that she is part of that cloud of witnesses that is still cheering us on to go further. She said, yes, we died in faith, but we are throwing the torch to you. I'm thanking God for other prayer warriors in this church. I think of Kathy May. I think of Elaine here, Agnes, and others. But we need more prayer warriors like her that will pray the word of God instead of the problem. Glenn Forsberg said, please relay our love and prayers to Peter and Claire and their families and to her church family. The life and endearment of this dear mother is comparable to the words of Paul in Romans 16, 1 and 2. Please allow me to paraphrase that I commend to you Agatha Brown, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Niverville, for indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. With our love and our gratitude, Glenn and Lois Forsberg. We bless you today. And may we have the courage to continue the race until we are all conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Amen.
After our brother here has shared, we're going to move into a time of a prayer together. We'll probably take another 5 to 10 minutes or so here.
Great. Greetings, everyone. And my name is Irvin Wilson. My wife's in the back, on First Nation person, and I feel at home here. And the Lord gave me a word for this mother, and I feel very honored to be able to say a few words for her. And when you get older, I'll just say, I'm glad to be here. When you get older, you're glad to be anywhere and be alive. But the Lord spoke to my heart concerning the one you're honoring, the legacy that she has left. And I believe that some of our elders may feel that a lot of times they're not heard. But I believe that her voice is ringing, her voice is echoing here this morning, and it's going to echo in Niverville. And because of her voice, because of her prayer, I feel that you could be blessed with an open heaven here. You don't have open heaven everywhere. And I feel honored to this church because I've known Roger and Marge, and they've helped us a whole lot, and even helped us to come in and be part of you, even though I'm culturally a different background. But you're my brother, you're my sister. And if it wasn't for the prayer of a little woman by the name of Hannah, a nation would never have been changed. And I believe that you have honoring a Hannah here. She has a legacy that she has left. Something is birthing in this little community and bringing transformation. And Hannah, I want to leave this verse with you. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. I feel even a lot of our women, a lot of times all we could do is, a lot of times we don't, we never had a voice, the woman never had a voice in the body of Christ for so many years. And I'm a real advocate for our women, because I believe that they have a voice. And if it wasn't for the voice of this little woman by the name of Hannah, a nation would not have been changed. A Mansa would never have been born, who was commissioned to ordain and bless two kings that saved the nation. And I believe that really if the words that have been spoken here concerning this mother and the legacy that she has left will be forever remembered, and her voice will forever echo. And for some of you elders and from you young people, it's a prayer that moves the hand of God. And I heard she was a prayer person. She was a mother, a true mother. And because of, I believe, her prayer, we are experiencing change. And I feel a big part of being, a big part, I'm a part of this church in Iberville. And we bless you. I'd like to pray a blessing over you. And that my prayer is a way that a lot of times I just talk and speak my prayers. And I pray that God will come in a greater measure this year. That you will not limit God. That this is the year of miracles, open heavens. When I drive in to Niverville, I feel the presence of the Lord. I believe the kingdom is being established here. Thy will of God will be done on earth as it is in heaven here. The kingdom will grow in greater measure. And every person in this community will feel God's presence. Because it is the mandate of the church to become the greatest entity on the face of the earth to influence communities, nations, and countries. And we pray a special blessing over you, even as a host people to this land. We share this great land of ours with you, and we stand in partnership with you, and we bless you this morning. And as you honor this elder, in turn, God will honor you back. And because of her, the woman's voices are not going to be just quivering, but the women's voices are going to be heard. They're not just going to speak in their hearts, but their voices are going to become the fruit and of this nation. God bless you.
Thank you.
We want to end by joining Grandma Braun in the prayers that she has prayed. And I'm going to invite you to do that together with those sitting around you. You can do it with your neighbor, you can do it with your family, with whoever you would like to. But one thing that struck me as Roger was sharing was change. She was a woman of the word, she was a woman of prayer. And she changed. And when we pray for our church, when we pray for our community, we all know where change begins. And I just want to challenge you to pray the prayer, Lord, change me. Change me. I invite you to change me where I'm at and have your way in my life. That's how it's all going to change. And I just want to say this, because I'm not going to close afterwards. I'm going to let you pray and let's walk on your way. You are not
defined by your past. You are not. You're defined by an ever-loving, ever-present God who cares for you. And if you pray that prayer of change in your life, wow, just watch what he'll do.